listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Monday morning in Chicago, you're listening to Catholic Radio, the Catholic Community of Faith. We are the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. Proud to be here with you. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese. Flying solo this morning, Father Greg Sakowitz is away, and we are doing the best to fill his ample shoes. Or I could say his ample seat here, but that might not be as complimentary. We are having our end-of-the-year show. This is, the fourth day of Christmas, Monday the 28th, and hope you all had a wonderful Christmas celebration with your families and with your friends and with your Lord, most especially. We're going to get the morning started off here with Father Joe Noonan, who is the Director of Vocations here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Father Joe.
Good morning, Graz. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Yesterday I happened to be down in Indianapolis at the Colts game, and I was surprised and edified to see that the person singing the national anthem was a Roman Catholic priest.
Outstanding.
Do you have any hidden talents we don't know any about? Maybe we can get you to sing for us.
You know, I play a CD player really well.
Ah.
I do that. An iPod, I can play an iPod really well.
Did they teach you that in the seminary?
That's the extent of my musical talent. But I'm happy that the Colts, and I guess they were playing the Jets, and the NFL had a Catholic priest do the national anthem. Did he do a good job?
He did. Oh, he was amazing.
Awesome.
Professional singer.
Outstanding.
He started very high and went higher.
Wow. That's
impressive.
Great. That's great. Well, certainly that, you know, in terms of vocations, that's wonderful for just, you know, a positive image of the priesthood. There's tremendous priests working very hard every day who are doing outstanding work, as you know, and many of our listeners know that the Lord is using them to touch many hearts. And we don't get the publicity, you might say, in those day-to-day things. So it's nice to have someone get a little visibility and share his gifts with people.
And you are one of those hardworking priests, and I say that with no reservation, because I've seen the great work that you do. You're a man of deep faith, a man of great conviction, and a man who has great passion for the priesthood. And I think that's what we need. You know, you and I have worked together talking about the importance of being a man of joy.
Sure.
You know, so that people want to see that this is something really to be attracted to. So what we want to do this morning is we're looking a little bit behind, and we're looking a little bit ahead in terms of the activities of some of the offices of the Archdiocese here. So since you direct the Vocations Office, Father Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about the past year, the efforts that you've given your time to, and the coming year, you know, what you're looking toward.
Sure, okay. That's a wonderful opportunity to share with some folks. Some of their prayers are being answered. We started the year as a diocese, as an archdiocese, with the most seminarians at the graduate level up at Mundelein Seminary that we've had for some time. Without doing a heavy statistical study, we would guess, you know, in the last 20 years since I was in the seminary, even way back when they, before the internet and before cable TV and all that. But we had 79 men start at the graduate level for Mundelein Seminary. So it's creeping up towards the 100. We are looking for, by the grace of God and inspiration of men, to pursue 100 seminarians a year. But 79 is getting close and closer to our goal, which is great. So that's where we started the year, at Mundelein Seminary. And the College Seminary, of course, has other seminarians, and Casa Jesus, which is a wonderful house of formation for men learning English, has more seminarians. So we're really doing well in the beginning of the year.
Tell us a little bit about some of these men. I'm sure they have very distinct and profiles.
Sure. Of the 79, I think many people know who have listened to other vocation or seminary shows realize that we are a diverse diocese, so we have wonderful gifts from both men born here as well as men moving here from other cities around the country, as well as immigrants. Chicago has been an immigrant center for, most of our I would say most of our history in one way or another. So that makeup of the 79 men include men born and raised right here in Chicago, men born in other states all the way from New York City to Indiana and Wisconsin who relocated here, maybe worked, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 to 15 years, and then called Chicago their home when they felt their vocation. So they wanted to stay home. You know, this was their home. And then as well, we have men with a true missionary spirit. We have men coming over from Poland through our Bishop Abramowicz Seminary, men who see the need for Polish-speaking priests to reach out to the Polish-speaking congregations here in the Archdiocese. So, and Spanish as well. Some of the Spanish men we do have also live here, however. They may have moved here when they were younger. They may have moved here as adults. But they need some ESL, so they go through Casa Jesus. And then from Casa Jesus, after finishing, equivalency test that helps them to, you might say, study well at the master's degree level, then they move up to Mundelein Seminary. So we have a diverse population, and they are all just edifying men. When I'm around these guys, they're holy, they're happy, they're joyful. They really have the zeal that you want.
You know, some people might be surprised to hear that at a time when the world becomes increasingly secular, you know, in the wake of some scandals that, you know, we all know about, that the number of men interested in priesthood is actually rising rather than shrinking.
Right.
Tell us some of the reasons that these men cite as what it is that drew them to priesthood, that interested them in this very radical life choice.
Sure. Most men have some feeling deep inside of them, probably at an earlier age than they answer, that God is calling them to the priesthood. That is witnessed by most men. Not all. Not all. We do have some men who discover this call later. And so even though they hear these secular voices throughout their lives, that beautiful, small whisper of God stays within their heart. And they finally get to the point where after, you might say, trying to pursue what the good things of culture, you know, maybe looking at marriage or looking at a profession, you know, those are good things if that's what someone's called to. But after trying those, at least dating, not necessarily marriage, but and really finding that it isn't the fit for them, it isn't fulfilling for them, it doesn't hold for them the depth of meaning that this call to the priesthood is, then they finally say, you know what, I have to do this. And they may not have the support of family and friends as they once did. Often men do, praise God, but some of them don't. Recently, we had a great example of that, a man from Cuba, actually. So he relocated to Chicago, and Chicago is now his home, as I mentioned before. He's a medical doctor. Just finished his residency in emergency room specialty at Stroger. And he told me he knew since he was a boy that he was called to be a priest. Growing up in Cuba, the church, you know, not quite as persecuted in other countries, but certainly not supported. He was not encouraged to pursue the priesthood. And so he did what was, you might say, expected of him. He was gifted very intellectually, then, you know, steered towards the skills that he had presented in, you know, different classes and things towards medicine, you know, became a doctor. But the call never went away. And the joy he feels now in pursuing, at least at the seminary level, this call is palpable. You can see it. You can see it.
Well, I love to hear you use that word and talk about the joy because, you know, obviously, if we're doing what God is calling us to do, we're going to experience joy. If we're on a path that isn't the one that God chose for us,
right,
then we're going to be stumbling.
Right. You know, I use a really, now this is very, I don't want to say superficial, but it's a very easy example to look at. If I was someone born to, let's say, use my left hand writing or throwing, and you made me use the opposite hand, you know, I might become, you know, proficient in doing it, but it's not the natural way for me. And if you just allowed me to go the natural way, I'm going to be more happy. I'm going to be better at doing, you know, and in some ways, it's the same thing with a musical instrument. Maybe I'm blessed with the ability to play the violin, but you want me to play the trumpet. You know, I might develop the skills to be a decent trumpet player, but really my gifts are with violin. Same things with men. Men typically who are called to the priesthood would be good fathers. They would be good husbands. But their gifts, you know, that the Lord has given them really are probably best tailored to be a servant of God exclusively as a priest?
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time since we're doing a smorgasbord show here this morning.
Can I plug a couple things?
Your other 12 points we're not going to have time for.
Can I just plug a couple things? So thanks, Scott. Real quick, we do have an in-search discernment group that's meeting up again June. No, I can't even think. Now you've rushed me. January 19th. So plenty of time. That's a weekly group. It meets Holy Name Cathedral. Give me a call or check out the web at chicagopriest.com. We also have a discernment retreat called Exploring Priesthood Weekend up at Mundelein, January 15th through the 17th. That's a Friday night through Sunday noon. And that information is also on chicagopriest.com. Thank you very much, Gratz.
Say that one more time. Website?
Website, www.chicagopriest.com.
.com.
Plenty of information about discernment opportunities, my information to call me or email me. Gratz, you have a great new year.
All right, Father Joe, you're the director of vocations, but we're all assistant vocation directors here.
Everybody's
an
inviter.
We want to remind everybody out there,
keep
your eyes open for men that God wants to be priests.
Invite at least one person this new year.
We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to talk about interfaith and interreligious affairs. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation. No, Father Greg Sackowitz here today, here all by myself, doing the best I can to fill his shoes. We are doing our end-of-year show. We're doing a quick review of some of the events sponsored by the various agencies of the Archdiocese. So we hope you find this of interest. Feel free to call in and ask any question. Our number is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. We were just talking with Father Joe Noonan about vocations, and now sitting in the guest chair is Sister Joe McGuire, who is the director of our Office for Ecumenical and Interfaith or Interreligious Affairs. Sister Joe and I always get tongue-tied on those things.
Too long a name.
Yeah. What's the difference between ecumenical and interreligious?
Well, I will do that in 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Good morning, anyway, Gratz. It's
good to
great to
here.
Be here again to talk to the audience. Ecumenical is regarding our relationship to other churches. It's within the Christian community. So we look at how do we, what are our relationships with the, particularly the Orthodox, the Anglican, the Protestant churches. And the goal there is visible unity. For 100 years, the Christian communities have been involved in this, and the Catholic Church, particularly since Vatican II.
Yeah.
Now, the interreligious, it's just as it says, religions. We're talking about different religions. So there it would be Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Hinduism. So those are the different religions of the world. And there the goal is not a visible unity, but really understanding and harmony among all of us, with a kind of special place for the Catholic or Christian relations to Judaism, which is very, very important, of course, and to Islam. We call them the Abrahamic or sometimes interfaith.
But right.
So ecumenical is a Christian. The religions is a wider religion.
Where do you find you spend more of your time, in the interfaith or the ecumenical?
Well, it is, I would have to say it's the interfaith, particularly with the Jewish and Muslim community. And that's, I keep trying to keep very much in front of us is the ecumenical, the Christian unity, because
yeah.
I think that's obviously important, because we have that common, for many Christians, we have a baptism, a common baptism that's recognized, and so we are rooted in Christ, and we pray together in a different way. However, I think, and it's another point I want to make this morning, is what happens universally or internationally and nationally also affects very much our where we work. And we've been had a long relationship with the Jewish community and a more recent one with the Muslim community.
You know, speaking of national and international, in the news recently was the pact between Roman Catholicism and, or you tell me, because obviously I don't know what I'm talking about here.
Okay.
But Anglicans who want to come over and become Roman Catholics,
yes.
the Pope sort of streamlined the procedure. Has that impacted your work in any way?
Well, it's one of the point I'm making of the different trends, that what happens nationally or internationally does affect us. That would be one that was an international or universal church, since it was the Vatican or the Holy See with the Anglican world community would be, well, actually that would be a part of the Anglican world community. The other point is, as each of these controversies happen within all of these religions, what happens here in Chicago, we have very strong relationships with many of them. So with that one example that you gave, I talked to the ecumenical officer, and we just continue on with our relationships and try and deepen them as we move through the controversies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've been living an interfaith life for many years. I'm one of the few Gentiles living in a very Jewish neighborhood. I absolutely love it. I love my Jewish neighbors. They're people of faith, and mm-hmm. anytime you see people of faith, it edifies you. And now it's going on to the next generation. My son has chosen his roommate for next year. He's become very close to a Jewish young man at his university, and they're going to live together next year. Sound like...
Well, that
it keeps on going.
That's that dialogue of life, and that's the very most important thing for anyone who wants to be involved in this, is meet a person. And you meet a person of a different faith or a different belongs to a different church, and that's where you really get a deeper appreciation of your own beliefs, and especially college, you know, they will be talking about it. And,
yeah.
and the more each is in love with their own religion, his or her own religion, the more they're going to really understand the other one. Because if you don't like someone, you can't hear even what they're saying. And if you do love them, you can. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any events of special note coming up in the coming year?
Yes, we do. Well, we do two annual events, and that they're in the two sections. So the ecumenical event is a praying for Christian unity, the week of prayer for Christian unity. That's coming up January 18th to the 25th. And that is one that shows the universal, national, and local connections. It's going to be next year, it's going to be in Wilmette, with Community Church in Wilmette. And so that will be taking in 2010. I'd like to refer to the one in 2009 because that was a kind of a special one. It was planned universally by the World Council Church and the Vatican, as it always is, but it was planned in Korea. And so when we celebrated it here in Chicago, we went to a Korean Catholic mission church, and they, with their United Methodist Church neighbors, put on a wonderful local celebration of what was being celebrated throughout the whole world. And they brought into it the culture of the Korean and then the culture of the American U.S. Just a marvelous example. So that brings me to how important it is as we all pray during this week of prayer for Christian unity in all our parishes, the more bilingual celebrations that we can have, because this was our first bilingual with an Asian language. So yeah. It was in Korean and English.
We just have time to let you tell us about one last thing. Did you say you had another event coming up?
Yes, and that would be with the within the Jewish community, the lecture, Cardinal Joseph Bernardin Jerusalem lecture series, and that will be in March. March 10th, 7 o'clock at Spertus Institute.
And who's going to be the speaker?
The speaker will be, at this time for a Catholic speaker, it will be Father Daniel Harrington. And the topic is Paul and Judaism, 10 New Perspectives. Now, if you notice Paul, we're talking now about our Jewish and Catholic people getting into Scripture together. And this is another new development. In the past, it was very awful over issues, and for the last 3 or 4 years, it's gone in this other direction.
Well, it sounds like a lot of exciting things happening through your office. Give us the dates of Christian Unity Week again, January 18th.
18th to the 24th, and the January 24th
we'll
is
I'll be
what?
Praying with you.
All right.
When we come back, we'll hear from another one of our agency directors. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on AM 950, Relevant Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and we're bringing to you a review of 2009, a look forward to 2010, through conversations with some of the directors of our wonderful offices within the Archdiocese. Up next are Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries, who are director and assistant director of our young adult ministry. Good morning, Father John. Good morning, Dr. Kate.
Good morning, Gratz. How are you?
Very well.
Good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you so much. Did you have a great Christmas?
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Yay. Great Christmas. And you?
We had the whole family over, so I'm exhausted, but it was good.
Excellent.
Good.
Well, tell us a little bit about what was happening that was exciting in your lives during the past year. I know you had a big event at the Festival of Faith, but I'm sure you did many other things as well.
Why don't you start, Father Keith?
We finished our 29th year, Graz, of Theology on Tap. That's amazing when you think about that.
It is. Now, real quickly, for the benefit of those who may not be familiar, what's Theology on Tap?
Kate, why don't you give us a thumbnail explanation of that? Okay, I don't have her there. Graz, it's a four-week speaker and conversation series based on the bishop's document on catechesis for adults. And it begins the week after the 4th of July. And after 4 weeks, we celebrate Mass with the Cardinal and usually have a picnic. And next year, it'll be at back at his residence on the 2nd Sunday in August.
And it's a huge speaker series, very, very popular, very well attended, and hosted simultaneously at many parishes throughout the diocese, right?
It was in 2009, the year we're just finishing. It was at 41 locations.
Wow.
So if you run the math, 41 at four sessions per venue, we were able to offer 165 evenings to those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, of the faith and the traditions of our church.
And, you know, that last part is what's really remarkable. To people in their 20s and 30s, the population that most people think you can't reach in the church, you've been doing it for 29 years.
We've been doing Theology on Tap. We're coming up to the 30th anniversary this summer, and we're going to try to do some special events around it. They're still in the remote planning stage, however.
That's great. That's great. What else has been going on?
Well, we are planning and developing a series of videos, believe it or not, for in cooperation with Catholics Come Home. When people key on the website, Catholics Come Home / Chicago, there is a bar down there for young adult ministry, and in a couple days, we will have on our website a video that has been produced by the Office of TV for the Archdiocese. And Kate, myself, and Terry Shelley, and Elise Ainsworth, who are our two ministers as a part of our rural project, one located in Chicago Heights and the other in River Forest, welcoming people to explore the church more in depth and letting them know what young adult ministry can offer them.
You know, you have so much experience working with people in this age range. Tell us a little bit about the factors that keep them away from church, and then the things that draw them back to church. You know, in your experience, what helps to reawaken that faith that probably was always there, but, you know, in a dormant state?
Well, I would certainly say, Graz, the good news is that in a very secular world, there is a spiritual hunger. And when you have a spiritual hunger, and we have the bread of life, our goal is to connect the hungry with the tradition. That's the good news. The difficulty in doing that, however, is every subsequent generation of 20-somethings with whom Kate and I have been privileged to work appears and probably can be determined to be much more secular than the generation just ahead of them by 10 years. So the secularity of a popular world makes religion a tremendous challenge.
It does, and it takes a great deal of courage to take on that secularity because it's so pervasive, as you say.
But it is, but I think the great thing, Graz, is that when you look at the Gospels, the Lord Jesus spoke to it. Granted, he lived in a very religious culture, but he spoke to a secular world, a man sowing seed. I mean, all the stories, they're pretty basic to daily life. And in using the culture in which he lived, he was able to help people see the activity and the presence of God in the routine of every day. And I think that's our job as well in 2009-2010.
Amen to that. Do we still have Dr. Kate there?
Yes, we do.
Oh, there you are. Okay, great. Well, Kate, tell us a little bit about what you're looking forward to in 2010 besides this anniversary that's coming up.
Well, we spent the last 2 years working on our two RUA centers. Those are opportunities for people to gather with people their own age in their own location. So Father Cusick and I have been doing all sorts of fundraising, and our hope is to open another center or two as a local presence for young adults. It's easy to say there's a diocesan-wide young adult ministry office, but if you're living way, way, way up north or way out south or way out west, it's not easy to get to. So
now, where are these other two centers?
The centers, one of them is at Dominican University in River Forest.
Okay.
That's our Kateri Center, and that takes in all of the western suburbs. The other one is the Isaac Hecker Center way southeast at Marian Catholic High School. So our goal is to have a much more local presence for young adults so that wherever they are, if they go to their parish and say, I want to gather with people my own age, they can be sent to a center of young adult ministry, which will invite them into wonderful opportunities.
That's fantastic, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard that question from young people, my own kids included. You know, where can I go to meet other
people my age.
Yeah.
People who share my
I always
values
say St. Clement's. That's my or Old St. Pat's.
Yes.
Those are my two standard answers.
Yes, yes. And there have to be options throughout the suburbs too. There are some wonderful young adults meeting in small groups, so we're trying to really tap into all of the existing things happening and make it easier for young adults to connect.
Where are you looking for another center?
Well, the one that we're concerned about right now, we'd like a Hispanic young adult ministry center, and that one will take in hopefully the entire archdiocese, but be placed like Theology on Tap in parishes around the diocese. And the other one we're looking at possibly is up in Evanston at the Shield Center.
Oh,
so
that
more
great
for young
location,
adults.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will keep building, and people have been very generous, and we're trying to make more good things happen.
And, of course, the two of you are a powerful radio presence yourselves. You
Yay.
Have your weekly program.
The Light Show, second Wednesday of every month.
Second Wednesday of every month.
Yes.
The Light Show.
Yes.
Well, you know, the two of you have been bringing light not only to the Archdiocese of Chicago, but around the country. You speak nationally at conferences, and you bring the good news of the work that you've been doing here to many other places. You teach them. You know, from your own experience of what you've been doing here, and we just wish you the best in the coming year.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all you're doing.
And the best to you, Graz.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to bring this segment to a close. When we return, we're going to be talking to the editor of our Catholic newspaper. Stay around. We've got much more to talk about.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's 9:34 on this Monday morning. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. Thank you for staying with us. We've been doing our year-end roundup, talking to the directors of various archdiocesan agencies about some of their exciting events of the past year and some of the things they're looking forward to in the coming year. And now, extra, read all about it. Joyce DeRiga, the editor of our Catholic New World, is joining us on telephone. Good morning, Joyce.
Hey, good morning.
Well, has this been a particularly significant news year, 2009?
It's been a busy year. Yeah, it's been fun. One of the things I enjoy about being in Chicago is there's never, not really a dull moment
no,
for us.
A dull moment. I think that's what Cardinal George said when he got here. He says, you couldn't believe that people paid so much attention to the Catholic Church in this diocese.
Yeah, that they do, and we're pretty busy. We've been putting together right now the year in review stuff, so we've got our timeline all worked out, and some of the highlights are things like in January we had there's a new Kelly Hall YMCA opened up at Our Lady of the Angels Mission out in Humble Park, which, you know, is the site of the fire, so there's some good stuff happening out there to kind of try and revitalize the community. We've got the Village of Mundelein, which is named after Cardinal Mundelein, celebrated its centenary in February. Of course, there was a fire at Holy Name Cathedral in February after it had just sustained the roof damage, then it was closed for several months.
And some heroic Chicago firefighters made a decision that kept us from losing that historic building.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And now it looks so gorgeous again, so they did a great job saving it. Then we've got, in March, we had a bunch of, they had the first Catholics at the Capitol, where about 4,000 students and some adults went to rally the legislators at Springfield for Catholic issues. Then later in March, Cardinal George established the Chicago Board of Catholic Schools, which was the first for us.
Hmm.
Then, let's see, what else have we got here? I'm going down our list of the fun stuff that we're pulling all this together.
Yeah.
We had 9 men ordained to the priesthood in May. And then we had the year for priests beginning in June. And, you know, it goes till next June. And then in the 15th, of course, this kind of stuff happens in Chicago, unfortunately. Roman Zabieski became the temporary overseer of Burr Oak Cemetery after there was the discovery of the people who were charged with digging up the remains and reselling graves.
That's right.
And then we've got Holy Name Cathedral reopened at the end of July, or in August, rather. And then in October, we had the Cardinal's Book, which is The Difference that God Makes.
Boy, that was all the way back in October?
Yeah.
Seems like it was last week. Okay.
Really? And so
I hope a lot of people gave that for their Christmas presents this year.
You know, I heard of some people doing it, and I hope so, too. It's, you know, it's not, as you probably know, it's not an easy book to read, but if you understand church, it's a really...
And if you want to get into the mind of the cardinal, that's the
amen
place to do
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that, too, when I was reading it. Also, in October, there was the Festival of Faith, and then there's been all the healthcare reform stuff that's been going on in the parishes and throughout the archdiocese, and then, of course, in December, we had our Catholics Come Home initiative beginning. So we've been all seeing those commercials and all that kind of stuff. But that's
fantastic.
Been on a local level, yeah.
I was going to ask you if you were going to do any kind of reprise about the Catholic health care thing, but I thought nobody understands that, even the senators. So I couldn't imagine that you guys could try to pull that apart and explain it to us.
No, I've looked into it, and I don't know. And there's so many nuances. We've been sticking with the bishops on this. We've been sticking with what Cardinal George has been voicing in the different committees at the USCCB. And
apparently there's still a lot of concern about the Senate bill coming out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it's far from over, it seems.
Any big story you're looking toward in 2010?
Well, we've got if I'm not mistaken, the new translations for the Mass will come in and come into effect. And I think they get a year to come into effect. So we'll do some work with I have a note to call the worship office to talk to them about what they're going to do to implement it, to see what we can do to help people understand the changes. I mean, I've talked to some people just randomly, and they're like, we're changing the Mass again? I'm like, no, they're not changing the Mass again. It's just some slight revisions that should enrich what we do. But as you know, with anything, it all comes with education. So
That's
we have
right.
to help people understand what these these changes are. And
well,
then,
for anyone who is making a New Year's resolution to be better informed about their Catholic faith, give us a phone number they can call to subscribe to the Catholic New World.
Sure. It's 312-534-7577.
Why don't you do that one more time?
312-534-7577. And then they can also go online at CatholicNewWorld.com. We're $25 per year, but we have a subscription drive going on now, so I think you can get it for like 15% off or something like that. So, sign up.
Mention Catholic Community of Faith. You get 15% off.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
Thanks so much.
15 with an N. All right, Joyce, thank you so much for being with us this morning, for the work you do on a regular basis. We're going to take a very short break and come back and talk to Mr. Frank Koob from our Office for Catechesis. Please don't go away.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com to view our photo gallery and catch up on the latest news. Subscribe to the Catholic New World online, at your parish church during our subscription drive, or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Come enjoy more than 250 wines from around the world at Catholic Charities' 9th Annual Divine Affair on January 31st at the Union League Club in Chicago. Catholic Charities hosts this annual event to benefit its self-sufficiency programs for poor families. Tickets cost $100 and include wine tasting and appreciation seminars and a silent auction. A special reduced rate will be offered to designated drivers. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/DVINE or call 312-655-7912 for details.
In the morning. Glad you're still with us. I'm Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, bringing you a year-end roundup, talking to some of our different agency directors about the work of the offices that they're involved with. And we're now talking with Mr. Frank Koob, Vicariate Catechetical Coordinator from the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Good morning, Frank.
Hello, Gratz. How are you today?
Very well. You've been at this for a long time. How long have you been there at the Office for Catechesis?
I've been at the Office for Catechesis for 8 years. I've been working in faith formation in the Archdiocese since 1966.
Oh, we're not going to add up all those years. My gosh. You make me feel old.
I worked with you for a while.
I know. A long time ago.
25 years ago, Gratz. We have our 25th anniversary, you and me.
Oh, my Lord. Well, you know what? I don't mind getting older. I'm getting closer to heaven. That's the way I like to look at it. Frank, tell us what were some of the highlights in the work of the Office for Catechesis in the past year. Why don't you start by just telling us Office for Catechesis? We've all heard that word.
Okay, first of all, we're going to add and youth ministry to the title.
And youth ministry.
We took on youth ministry about maybe 3 or 4 years ago
and
have been running with it as one office, womb to tomb since. We're covering catechesis from small children all the way through our various levels of adulthood.
That's right. I think oftentimes people think catechesis as something that's aimed only at children, but this is really a whole life effort you're talking about.
We say it's ongoing. You ought to know because you are involved in adult faith formation yourself.
Yep.
And we certainly want to encourage all of our parishes, too. We're celebrating the 10th anniversary this year of the bishop's issuing of the document Our Hearts Were Burning Within Us that set up a plan for adult faith formation in all of the parishes of the United States to be implemented in all of the dioceses. And our office has been, for the past 10 years, working slowly but surely to implement that plan.
Tell us some of the elements of the plan.
Well, one of the elements of the plan is, boy, you've got to identify leaders in each parish to take the bull by the horn and decide that they're going to set up a strategy for offering really good, vibrant adult faith formation on many different levels in their parish. And we know in our agency that they need training. You can't just do that out of the blue. And so this past September, our adult faith formation coordinator, Pat Reddington, rolled out the first of two ministerial courses for the training of adult faith formation leaders in parishes. He offered that course in September, and he's going to be offering it again this coming February, this time at St. Mary's Parish in Des Plaines, but it's open to everyone.
And what would be some of the things that a person would learn in a program like that?
Well, first of all, I think that people need to learn that we've got to break away from the child-centered paradigm of catechesis. We've got to realize that catechesis has to be ongoing, and Jesus taught adults, his disciples taught adults. Adult faith formation was very strong in the church in its first several hundred years, and we have to really get back to reaching out to our adults because they are continuing to grow in faith also. They can't just rely on what they learned a number of years ago when they were in grade or high school.
Something I heard and learned about 35 years ago when I first got into this work, I believe it was Harry Fagan who said, Jesus played with the children and taught the adults, and the Catholic Church has done the opposite ever since.
Well, we've been trying.
We're much better at teaching children, and we tend to play with the adults, you know, bingo and things of that nature.
We've been trying to slowly but surely turn that around.
Absolutely.
And it's happening very strongly in some places. Our encouragement is that every parish get a strong adult faith formation leadership going, and we'll be able to help them through this course and with our ongoing support to establish adult faith formation programs that work. We don't want people to be doomed for failure when they try something. We want them to come up with something that's going to really catch the eyes and ears of their parish and become a part of the faith life of their parish.
Absolutely. Now tell us some of the topics that an adult faith formation program might address. What kinds of things would you want adults to be, become more conversant in? Are you teaching scripture? Are you teaching sacraments? What kind of topics?
Well, one thing we certainly are encouraging is an education in scriptural literacy and Bible literacy as a foundation for understanding faith and for our being able to interpret the meaning of our life situations. Our office, again, 10 years ago, established the Chicago Catholic Scripture School as an adult faith formation initiative that would become archdiocesan-wide, and it is right now. We have 7 sites, 150 people, 150 adults are studying 4 years of Bible in the archdiocese, and we've already graduated over 150 people over the past 10 years.
That's fantastic.
And this year is our celebration, our 10th anniversary celebration. In fact, we have a special event coming up in April. Cardinal George is going to address the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, and we'd like to invite all of the adults of our faith communities of Chicago to join us up at St. Joseph in Libertyville in April. They'll be able to find the dates for that event on the scripture page of our office's website.
Yeah. You know, it used to be taken for granted that if you were Catholic, you didn't know Scripture. But since Vatican II, we've certainly turned that around, and Catholic Scripture School is certainly one of the great efforts within the Archdiocese that's helped make a huge difference. We need to bring this segment to a close, unfortunately, Frank, but we want to thank you, Maruja, Sedano, and all the others involved at the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for the wonderful work that you have been doing and will continue to do for the diocese.
Good to talk to you, and they can tune in to Echoing God's Word, our program on the third Wednesday of the month at 9:30.
Amen. Happy New Year to you, Frank.
You too, Gratz. Bye.
Please stay with us. When we return, we'll have our final segment and talk about our family ministries efforts within the Archdiocese. Please don't go away.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Thanks for your help with our Christmas programs. Don't stop now. We have some exciting events coming up as we head into the new year. Thursday, January 7th, the Junior Board Social Committee is holding a Divine Affair wine tasting preview at 721 North LaSalle. Come and meet Junior Board members, taste amazing wines, and support the Catholic Charity self-sufficiency programs. Sunday, January 10th is the next Faith Committee Mass and Brunch. Bishop Gustavo Garcia Siller will celebrate Mass in the chapel at 721 North LaSalle with brunch and conversation to follow. If you're interested in volunteering with the Junior Board, come to our Volunteer Committee meeting on Monday, January 11th to hear about upcoming opportunities. If you're into social fundraising, join us on Wednesday, January 27th for the next Social Committee meeting. There's always a way to help your neighbors at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit www.catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
Went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am.
I feel alive, complete, and at home.
I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. If you were listening to that last spot, powerful commercial about coming back to the Catholic faith. I imagine that most of you listening are not coming back to the Catholic faith. You've been here all along, but I'm sure you know someone who has been away from the church. So let that spot inspire you to bring that message of welcome to anyone who might need to hear it. We were talking in the last segment about adult ed, let me just give my own program a plug. For anyone looking for adult education within the Archdiocese, the Called and Gifted program is going to be celebrating its 30th anniversary in the coming year. Almost 2,000 graduates in these 30 years of that program. So if you're interested, call 847-837-4555, 847-837-4555, the Called and Gifted program. We're welcoming to our program now Elsie Radke, who is the Associate Director of our Family Ministries Office. Good morning, Elsie.
Good morning, Graziano. How are you?
Very well, very
good.
Well.
Happy New Year.
Happy end of 2009. Happy start of 2010.
Really.
You work with one of our larger diocesan offices and involved in many different efforts. Why don't you mm-hmm. just give us a quick overview of some of the work of the Family Ministries Office?
Oh, it's been quite a year. I think most people would know us for our pre-Cana work. All of the couples getting married go through a pre-Cana class, and that is either done at the local parish or through the Archdiocese, which is our work. And it's, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 couples a year go through our preparation for marriage. We have enhanced our Marrying with Stepchildren program this past year and find that participation is higher. So that's been very rewarding because we want these couples to succeed at marriage.
Tell us a little bit about that. Marrying with Stepchildren.
Yes, yes.
It sounds like a TV sitcom.
Honestly. Only it's no laughing matter.
Yeah, right.
It's very
It sounds like a very needed program.
Well, it's very interesting. My husband and I have the privilege of actually facilitating this program, and it's for couples that perhaps they've had earlier relationships that have yielded children and they've never married, or perhaps they've been widowed or divorced and they are now looking to get married in the Catholic Church. So we offer, you know, some insights into what that's going to look like. It is very different from a traditional first-time marriage. So we try to give them some, you know, some insight into how to manage the biological and the step relationships, how to manage the discipline, how to bring two families with such different histories together, so that they'll have success. I mean, they're coming to the church because they want to be married in the church, and so we try to give them as much as we can to strengthen that bond and give them a good leg up on their new life together.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be very naive to assume that two families can just come together and blend without some real intentional effort.
Well, you know, a lot of people that have never been married are very idealistic, and they may have children, they may have been very young. The one class that my husband and I did, we had people that were in their late 20s, early 30s, they already had teenagers. So they had children when they were in their teens. They've grown up, they've matured, they've had the opportunity to fall in love again, and they're very naive. They're just as starry-eyed as anybody getting married for the first time with no previous experience. So we just try to do a little reality check and affirm their commitment to each other and their, you know, their anticipation for their life together. So it's a very interesting dynamic, very yeah. needed dynamic.
Now, if someone were facing this prospect in their own future, how would they get a hold of the office there and
well,
get themselves signed
probably
up for
the
program?
most common way is through our website, which is www.familyministries.org. Let me say that again, www.familyministries.org, or they can call our main number, which is 312-534-8351. And
Do that one more time.
312-534-8351. And you know, any of our receptionists or ministers are available to talk about this and fill in the blanks and any information they want. But so we welcome all couples considering marriage, whether it's, you know, the young 20-somethings or people that are older in life with no children that are, you know, fortunate enough to find one another, and we welcome them all.
All right, so we've got about a minute and a half here. You said that this pre-Cana work is probably what you're best known for.
Yes.
What are you less known for, but
well,
also very important?
I think we're less known for our natural family planning, which is excellent. Maria Garcia is the coordinator for that ministry. And she has become the liaison between Australia, which is where the Billings Method comes out of, and all of the Spanish-speaking countries. She has also become and been invited to become the president of the U.S. Billings Method's Hispanic Board. And so she's a master teacher. She trains people for natural family planning, and she's a gift to this diocese. She's excellent at what she does.
All right. I'm sure there are a number of people out there thinking, come on, that stuff is really outdated. It doesn't really work.
You know what's interesting is I understand that thinking, but, you know, people are so much about health nowadays. Instead of being skeptical about the rhythm method and stuff from the 40s and 50s, people want to be healthy in life, and this allows that in the couple relationship. Plus, couples that practice natural family planning, their divorce rate is like less than 1%.
Wow.
Because it involves the man and the woman in the whole, you know, procreative cycle, and that's a great bonder for couples.
And it's also a technique that can be used to have a child if people are experiencing difficulty.
To achieve or delay pregnancy,
yeah.
Either way. And there's
yeah.
a lot of infertility. There's a lot of infertility out there, and this is certainly a process that anybody ought to really get educated on before they make a decision as to what to do. So, and Maria's excellent. We offer this in English. We also now have it in Polish and in Spanish.
Well, you know what? I'm afraid we're going to have to move on.
Okay.
We're running out of time. We wish you a happy new year.
Likewise.
We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in throughout the year, and we hope you'll join us again in the new year. We thank Jim Dish, our producer, Brian Brock, our man behind the scenes that makes all the technical stuff possible. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for joining us. Have a blessed week, and have a wonderful, wonderful new year.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.